We've all had fierce and formidable women in our lives who have shaped who we are now. The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is dedicated to celebrating women who have shaped the education landscape more than you can possibly imagine. Who better to host this conversation than Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson, two fierce and formidable women who have been driving innovation in the field of the education world for more than 30 years. Please welcome our hosts, Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson.
Welcome to episode number 29 of Tech and Learning's Honor Roll, a podcast that celebrates fierce and formidable women in education. I'm Keisha Ray.
And I'm Frances Gibson, and we are thrilled to have another fierce female joining us today. You know, Keisha, I was reading one of my favorite quotes from Jane Goodall, and she says, "What you do makes a difference, and you have to decide what kind of difference you want to make." And as we embark on episode number 29, I know that we are making a difference in sharing the stories of amazing women with this amazing community. And so I'm excited to share a little bit more about Dr. Sarah Thomas. Are you ready? So Sarah Jane Thomas is a regional technology coordinator in a large district in Maryland. I love visiting Maryland. And she is the founder of EduMatch Project, which promotes connection and collaboration among educators around the world. Through EduMatch, Sarah has published several collaborative and individual books. And EduMatch is also recognized as a Google for Education professional development partner. She serves as the president on the board of directors for EduMatch Foundation Incorporated, which is a nonprofit that supports grassroots work of students and educators. In addition, she's the co-author of the ISTE publication series, Closing the Gap, focused on digital equity, as well as a Google certified innovator and trainer. She graduated from George Mason University with a doctoral degree in education and a concentration in international education. We know that comes in handy. And she holds a master's degree from one of our favorites, Howard University, in the field of curriculum and instruction. She was a designated ASCD Emerging Leader in 2016 and was recognized in EdTech Magazine's 30 K-12 IT Influencers Worth a Follow in 2020. She was also named by the National School Board Association as one of the 20 to watch in 2015, and she's part of the technical working group that refreshed the International Society for Technology and Education Standards for Education in 2016 through 2017. And in 2017, you're not going to be surprised by this, she received the ISTE Making It Happen Award.
It is true. And for those of you that don't know what that is, it's comparable to a Lifetime Achievement Award, actually. And so, Sarah, you have accomplished a tremendous amount in your very short lifetime. And I am so honored to have you on our podcast today. You know, I first met Sarah through ISTE, of no surprise. And I feel like it was about 10 years ago when we met. And we were doing some kind of presentation. Here's what I remember. We were in a classroom and everybody left from our presentation. And I had a chance to just kind of sit, you know, in the classroom with Sarah and just talk about our journeys and where she envisioned herself, where she dreamed to be. And to see what you have done with that vision that you had is just, it warms my heart. And every time I follow you on Twitter and social, I'm just like so happy to see the things that you imagined happen coming to fruition. And so, I mean, I can't even believe you said yes. I'm super, super glad that you're here today. Now, each week on this podcast, we explore models of leadership together. We focus on what we refer to as the pattern of M. We ask our guests who their role models are and how they've impacted your life. And then we ask you about your mentors, what you see in the mirror, moments that are magical, and moments that are maverick. So, Frances, we also do another little special thing, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do, Keisha, and I caught it already. There's this thing called EduBabble, where we use words and phrases or new ideas that we haven't really explained to our audience. And while I did a tiny bit of that in the bio, I think it's worthy of us exploring what exactly is EduMatch, because it sounds like there's a powerful vision behind that. Dr. Sarah Thomas, can you help us out with that?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I have to say thank you all so much for having me here today. It's so awesome to be here, and oh my gosh, I'm just so honored. So thank you so much for having me. So regarding EduMatch, EduMatch is a grassroots organization that started in 2014, and it pretty much started from a friend of mine, Rafranz Davis, was saying, you know, I'm using fantasy sports in you know, one of my teachers in my district wants to use fantasy sports. So I said, okay, you know, this person has used it. This person has used it. My cousin has used it. What would happen if all of you get together and just start talking about it? So at that point, I just created a Twitter account, started connecting folks, put out a form and had them submit a short bio and started matching it to hashtags. And from there, started creating these EduMatches. So that's kind of where the name came from, the idea came from. And over time, it's grown. People have joined, and we've expanded to different forms of social media, Facebook groups, Voxer groups. We've also kind of pivoted in terms of what we've been doing. So we've done ed camps, we've done Twitter chats, we've done webinars, we've done books. We now do PD. We now have our nonprofit. So there's a lot of different things going on, but that's EduMatch in a nutshell.
Well, it's not a nutshell. It's actually one of the very first digital professional learning communities that we kind of saw. So you are a pioneer in that space. Now everybody's replicating it and calling it something completely different. But you're the founder. You're the pioneer in that. And then you've also kind of moved into the publishing realm, which I really appreciate and honor, because there's, you know, as a writer myself, there's so many publishing houses that just don't want to pick up what we want to write. And so having a space that we can go to and hopefully EduMatch will consider what we want to do and put it out there. So thanks so much for that incredible explanation. I'm sure that you will have a lot of people looking for that hashtag as soon as they hear this podcast. So let's get started with our infamous M's, role models. Who are your role models?
Oh man, there's so much inspiration out there to draw from. And I feel like I'm cheating on this question a little bit, because there are just so many people. And, you know, I would definitely have to give a huge shout out to my family, my mom and my dad, you know, from an early age, and they kind of showed me what it was to have a vision and run with that vision. So I was able to see them do that. Both of them do that with their own projects and their own companies that they had. So that was very powerful to see at a young age. And also I would say just the phenomenal educators that I've come across. There have been so many, including you. Like it's just been amazing to watch and just draw that inspiration. And I really love the fact that now we have social media and people can share so freely what they're doing, and it just sparks inspirations and so many others. So I have many, many educational role models, and also students. I would say, you know, I was in the classroom for a little over 10 years. And during that time, I've learned so much from students, you know, probably just as much as I've taught them, I've learned from them as well. And just really being able to connect with them and getting to know them as individuals and them showing me things that they were interested in. And sometimes being able to collaborate. And I mean, that's just been an amazing process.
Well, you're definitely evoking a lot of passion and a pattern of love, whether it's love from your family or the love for your students, definitely surrounding. And of course, the love of Keisha, like we can never deny that, right? And so as you think about these role models, let's push a little bit further and think about who are the mentors that have supported you in this space?
I would say, and again, this is kind of casting a wide net, but I wouldn't be answering authentically if I did not. My professional learning network and, you know, PLN, Professional Learning Network, Personal Learning Network. I remember back in 2017 at ISTE, and I was doing an Ignite, and just the phrase PLF, professional, no, I'm sorry, personal learning family kind of came to mind, because that's what it feels like in this field. It feels like we have so many people that we can collaborate with and learn together, grow together, fight together, advocate for our students together. I mean, just being able to learn so much from other educators around the world has grown me so much in my own professional practice. And I'll admit, like when I first started, then I came from alternative certification. You know, I had about a month of preparation before I started, and it was a very, very rocky road. This was back in 2004. This was before we had Twitter, before we had Facebook. No, I think we had Facebook, but educators weren't really on Facebook, you know, as educators at the time. And I remember that feeling of isolation, and I was just like, you know, there were times where it was really kind of touch and go. I was wondering, you know, would I last in this field? Like, is this really for me? Because it's so hard. And I'm seeing so many people in 2021 now saying that this is like the hardest year ever. And just having the opportunity to lift each other up on social media, I'm seeing that so much. And that is extremely powerful. So as far as my mentors, whenever I need, whenever I'm in need of some guidance, some support, it's usually just like a tweet away, a Vox away, a Facebook post away. So, there's just so many people out there willing to share. And I just feel so fortunate and blessed to have such a network.
Well, we're blessed to have you in the network, let me tell you. And now you're part of a new network of Honor Roll Sheroes. And that's going to be an incredible group to be part of too, my friend. Hey, when did you look in the mirror and see yourself as a leader?
So with that question, it took a lot. It took a lot because, like I said, those first few years were rough, incredibly rough. And when you go through things a lot of times in our field, then you will start picking up that baggage. And, you know, sometimes it gets in your head and makes you think that you are less than. So one thing that really, really helped me is the team that I have the honor and privilege of serving on right now in my district, the technology training team. I connected with them about 10 years before I ended up joining them. So that's kind of a spoiler alert. But I joined them back in 2015. So it wasn't quite 10 years. But they had so many initiatives in the district for educational technology leaders, I guess, like kind of like an incubator. They had a program like that. And just the combination of that and just moving around so much that I eventually found the right fit as an educator, you know, and having a supportive principal, a few supportive principals I've had the pleasure of having, and them seeing something in me and eventually starting to believe it myself. But it took a lot of, you know, undoing those layers, taking off those layers. And I mean, still today, you know, there's still a little bit of baggage, you know, carrying around like, oh, is this good enough? So, I mean, it's definitely a process. It's definitely a process.
Yeah, that process has a lot of creativity in it. I'm definitely hearing. I'm reminded of Maya Angelou's words about creativity and just that it's never ending. There's an abundance of it. And you certainly have an abundance of that. And the ways in which you connect with others to cultivate that. So that we're not in that scarcity mindset, which is also so scary for so many. You've created a space where we can grow and cultivate that creativity and those supports together. You know, you're a powerful woman, no doubt about that. And I'm curious, how do you see women changing the world? Maybe yourself included.
Yeah, there's so much that we have to offer. And I love the fact that now, and I'm probably sounding like a broken record, but now we have these resources where we can just put our stories out there, share what we're doing. And a good friend of mine, Dr. Will, said, if you're not invited to the table, build your own table. And it's becoming easier than ever to build our tables through social media, through blogging, through just connecting with other like-minded individuals and also differently minded individuals, you know, to help us grow and push back on some of our thinking. That's been, you know, some of the greatest moments in my own growth. So, but to get out of our own bubble of comfort, then, you know, we have all of these resources available to us.
And, you know, there's also a lot of kind of mavericks out there who are disturbing the system in all fields. We've had female astronauts that are, you know, knocking it out of the park, no pun intended. We've got female athletes. Who are you paying attention to and who should we pay attention to who are mavericks? And I think you've mentioned one already that I know is a maverick in our ISTE space.
Oh yeah, Refrons for sure. Refrons Davis, phenomenal. You know, just a great thought partner, great friend. She is just awesome. I would also give a shout out to Shelly Sanchez. Just, you know, so amazing, so giving and sharing of information and knowledge. Great person that I've had the fortune to connect with early on when I joined Twitter with an educator account. And she really showed me the ropes. So I would also give a shout out to Mandy Fralick, who is our EduMatch COO of EduMatch Publishing. And I mean, she's just on fire, pardon the pun. I call her the girl on fire because her first book was The Fire Within. And every book has like a fire motif. But just the work that she's been doing in social emotional learning, as well as in the field of education in general, is just amazing. And for my final maverick, then I couldn't go without giving a huge shout out to Tara Linney, who is one of my best friends and also just a great thought partner and collaborator. And she's been doing big things out there. So that would be like my fourth maverick that I would shout out. There are so many more that I could just, you know, go on and on and on, but I'll stop with three for now.
That is an amazing list. And I think we need those all on our speakers bureau so that we can make sure that we get them in front of as many leaders as possible. And speaking of ISTE and all the other work you do beyond Prince George County, how do you take care of Sarah? What are your self-care practices?
Yeah, in terms of self-care, then for a while I was doing pretty well with the working out and I've kind of fallen off, but I'm going to try to get back on. So yeah, I just injured myself recently, but now I'm on the mend. So I'm going to try to get back into it. But that's one thing I would say that it all really kind of boils down to routines. So just that working out, the meditation, the sleeping, I'm trying to, you know, hit that sleep goal and I'm seeing how important that is. And just, you know, trying to make time for it because I see exactly how much it affects the rest of my day when I don't get enough sleep. So those are three things that I'm trying to do, you know, also trying to watch what I eat. But that'll come along. That'll come along down the line.
I watch what I eat right when it goes in my mouth. And I'm like, that was good.
I hear you.
Those milk duds are amazing.
Right.
Hey, now we're going to move to a little game of insights that we like to play to kind of finish off the podcast. And it's a finish this thought game. So here is the first one. An event that changed my world view.
Okay, this one is kind of grim. But I would say when I was a senior in high school, that's when Columbine happened. And that kind of rocked my world because I've always thought of school as a place of physical safety, you know, and that event just really, really shook me up, you know, on an emotional level. That's the first one that comes to mind right now, but there are so many out there, so many.
Yeah, definitely taught us a lot about compassion and what safety does mean in so many different contexts. You know, mm-hmm. I have one of those sentence starters too, as we think about this pattern of insights with you. And this one is, I became a stronger person after.
I would say those first 5 years of teaching, making it through that was extremely challenging. So the lessons I learned from that and being able to endure that, then, you know, that really helped me out throughout the rest of my career.
I bet that resonates with so many teachers too, but they're all nodding their
heads. We're nodding.
Okay. What about this one? My life improved when I
started saying no to things. Cause I have a tendency to be a yes person. And I, you know, if somebody asks me to do something, then a lot of times my first instinct is like, yes, I can do it. Let me do it. But you know, there's so many opportunities out there. And I know that's coming from a place of blessing to be able to say that. But sometimes we have to say no. And someone said it beautifully. Sometimes you have to say no to protect the yes for other things. So that's one thing I'm learning right now.
I saw a colleague who modeled for me having a to-do list and a to-don't list.
Oh, I love
and then
it.
Keeping be on the other side of it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. How about this one? A decision that changed your life.
Deciding to do the doc program. I decided that very early on in the teaching, in my teaching journey, kind of at the time, you know, I was very young and still in that very rocky place. And I felt that entering a doc program would kind of maybe teach me, you know, some things and also project that I was serious. I'm here to stay, you know, but it became so much more than that. It taught me so much, like, for example, being critical, and, you know, being able to look at things with a critical eye. And I know that now media literacy is increasingly more and more important. So I would say that program really set me up, to think in that way and to be a better judge of, what I accept to necessarily be true.
Well, Dr. Thomas, I've had Dr. Ray come talk to my graduate students, and I think you're up next because you have eloquently described the importance of being a scholar practitioner and how the research mind shifts, but we got to get into our schools and our classrooms, and especially in settings where we don't have enough urban scholars making a difference with our youth. And so, so true, so true. Love the wisdom that you've shared with us around that. You know, I have learned a tremendous amount from you in this short amount of time, and I can't wait to read more of your work and continue to be part of this professional family network that you've described. You know, it's so incredibly powerful, and I can see why Keisha holds you near and dear to her heart, and you have definitely entered mine as well. So Keisha, you know, I always put you on the spot. I got to check for understanding and make sure you're taking those good copious notes and got your hashtags ready. So what have you learned from this extended conversation with Dr. Thomas?
Well, I've learned, I thought I knew a lot about her, but I truly didn't. So let me share my little insights, Dr. Sarah. First, I didn't realize you were alt licensed. So I think that's super cool. I think it speaks to the population of teachers out there or people in other careers are like, I'm miserable. I feel called to be a teacher and want, but they're not sure if they could like really pull it off. I think you have a powerful message for those that are kind of teetering on the verge, but not quite committed, that it's cool. Like you just do it, go for it. If you make it through the first 5 years, and if you are struggling through the first 5 years, call Sarah. She'll coach you through. It'll be no problem at all. I think that you've built an awesome table for yourself with EduMatch and with your social media following and just the incredible work that you've done in lifting up others' work across the community. And I love that you have so much going on, but you still stay grounded in a district position.
Thank you so much.
That's something I tried to do my whole career. And it's not easy. It's not easy to like be an innovator and get asked to go on presentations and keynotes and still like make your, you know, 7 a.m. Monday morning meeting that drives you mad every time you have to go. But you've done it and you are an inspiration to your district. I know personally, and you're an inspiration to our field. And I also love that you're a fellow HBCU graduate. So yay. I think I came out of Tennessee State University.
Yay!
And there is much to be said for those of us who have taken the pathway of an HBCU for life and career preparation. And I think we are a gem. Our schools are gems in communities. And many, you know, I'm also from Atlanta where we have, you know, a plethora of HBCUs, but they're sprinkled all over our country. And many, many people don't even realize that they're sitting in the midst of greatness with the HBCU and their community. So I'm super, super stoked that you and I share that in common. And I'm super, super stoked that you're here today and part of our honor roll family.
Thank you so much. It was really an honor. And I just thank you both for having me. And I thank you to all of the listeners for tuning in. So thank you all again so much.
Thank you, Sarah. And we're curious, is there something that you would tell your younger self as you look back on this conversation?
What I would tell my younger self would be that
things a lot of times don't come easy. They say that sometimes you really have to fight for what you love. If you know and it resonates to you that it is your truth. I've had folks tell me, you can't do this. You know, this is not for you. You're young, go out, find something else very early on. But, you know, my family rallied behind me and I was able to fight and stay in there and stay committed to what I love, which is this field of education. So definitely, you know, there are ups and downs, but hanging in there, you know, that is the advice I would give to my younger self.
Well, we're so glad that you're giving that advice to all of our listeners. And it helps us think about one of those coaching questions, Keisha. So as we stand in our truth, as Sarah has encouraged us to do so and has demonstrated the power of that in this conversation and in her daily actions, our coaching question for our listeners is, how might you build your own table and create opportunities for networks in many spaces and places? Again, how might you build your own table and create opportunities for networks in many spaces and places?
Oh, I like that one, Frances. That's a cool one. Can't wait to see what our listeners post about that. Hey, Sarah, we can't thank you enough for being here and becoming part of our honor roll family. It's just been such an honor and a gift. And to our incredible audience who's here with us, and hopefully they're here with us every time we post a podcast, we're going to come back next time because we're going to highlight another Shero in Education and explore their M's. Until then, please don't forget to follow our hashtag TL Honor Roll, that's R-O-L-E, and respond to the incredible coaching question that Frances just shared. Until then, be fierce and be formidable.
The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is produced by Keisha Ray, Frances Gibson, and Christine Weiser. Audio production by Mitchell Tulin and AV Nation. Tech and Learning's Honor Roll theme music is by Madison Van Gundy. Find more episodes on techlearning.com and follow us at hashtag TL Honor Roll. That's TL Honor, R-O-L-E.